Hello and welcome to Spotlight on Asia on Radio France International. I'm Roslyn Hyams. Some media this week in South Asia and beyond pondered the possibility of war between India and Pakistan over their joint claim for the Kashmir region bordering on the Himalayas. After 18 Indian soldiers died due to a grenade attack on their camp on the line of control, or LOC, the de facto border, more or less since partition of the subcontinent in 1947, Indian politicians upped their anti-Pakistan rhetoric, one minister going as far as publicly to call Pakistan a terrorist state. The attack by suspected Kashmiri separatists or Pakistani militants was not claimed by any group. It came amid continuing reports of trouble in Indian-administered Kashmir and Jammu state, between demonstrators and security forces using pellet guns to quell demonstrations. Clashes between protesters and police began in July when a prominent young separatist leader was killed in Kashmir during a gunfight with Indian security. The incident sparked fresh rounds of violence, the level of which has not been seen there for several years. Also this week, Pakistan's Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif's address at the annual United Nations General Assembly was largely about Kashmir and accused India of not wanting to discuss the issue, amongst other things.
Pakistan wants peace with India. We have gone the extra mile to achieve this, repeatedly offering a dialogue to address all outstanding issues. But India has posed unacceptable preconditions to engage in a dialogue. Let us be clear. Talks are no favor to Pakistan. Talks are in the interest of both countries. Mr. President, peace and normalization between Pakistan and India cannot be achieved without a resolution of the Kashmir dispute. This is an objective evaluation, not a partisan position.
The Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi had, in fact, on his way back from Afghanistan only at the end of last year, dropped in unexpectedly on Sharif. It seemed a friendly thing to do, but maybe it was less so, because this year India is represented not by Modi, but by his External Affairs Minister, Sushma Swaraj. And yet, the annual gathering in New York is an opportunity for leaders to meet informally on the sidelines and out of public view in neutral territory, and often where, one can imagine, the most important and frank exchanges take place. In this week's Spotlight on Asia, I speak to three analysts, two based in the countries concerned and one in the US. First of all, I spoke to Dr. J. Jagannathan. He's geographically at the heart of the issue. He's an assistant professor of national security studies at the Central University of Jammu in Jammu and Kashmir.
The government is also considering many options to respond to the crisis. One way to satisfy the domestic pressure, it is not only domestic pressure, it is domestic anger. There is a threshold. I think that whether India will reach the threshold where it could consider for a military option. But given what is happening in New Delhi, the leaders and the defense minister, it shows that the government has started this diplomatic offensive to corner Pakistan and also tell the international community that we cannot tolerate this kind of menace emanating from Pakistan's soil.
There was the idea brought in by the United Nations for a referendum on self-determination for Kashmir. Is India today in favour of holding such a referendum?
I would say it is a totally big debate. I don't want to get into things, but what I see is that from the policy side, as far as this UN referendum is concerned, it is a very old matter and it does not hold any water in today's context. India has a legitimate authority over the J&K state, overall state, through the accession, the instrument of accession signed in the 1947. So I don't want to go back to the history. But I think that India must go to the UN with a resolution saying that Pakistan is illegally occupied the erstwhile state of Jammu Kashmir. So that even the constitution of Pakistan does not recognize those areas, haven't got any constitutional rights over those areas. So I think it is the right time that India should move the resolution in the UN and tell the world that it is the illegal occupation what Pakistan has been occupied in the J&K state.
You're listening to Spotlight on Asia on RFI with me, Roslyn Hyams. Then over to Imtiaz Gul, the executive director of the Islamabad-based think tank Center for Research and Security Studies, CRSS. I asked him about the possibility of the referendum or plebiscite included in the 1948 UN resolution actually being held.
The crux of the 1948 resolution, in which India itself had committed to a UN-sponsored plebiscite, but then it has gone back on that, and then there were certain moves, particularly an Indian Parliament resolution of 1994, which basically declared the Kashmir under its control as its integral part. So there's been quite a deviation by India itself, whereas the UN Security Council resolutions are very clear on this promise of a plebiscite to allow Kashmiris to determine their future as to whether they want to go independent, accede to Pakistan or India.
And now further from the action, but closer to the 2016 United Nations General Assembly, where India's envoy is due to deliver the address on behalf of New Delhi on Monday, September the 26th. Michael Kugelman is a South Asia watcher at the Wilson Center in Washington, D.C.
Early on, when emotions were raw, there was a need for the Indian government to really appease public anger toward Pakistan, given that the government had suggested right away that these terrorists came from Pakistan. So I think there was a need to really speak very harshly and strongly. But I think that, you know, the reality of the situation is India does not really have that many options to launch military action in Pakistan, and therefore we're seeing the government really tone things down and talk about doing other things like diplomatic isolation.
The Indian media has been a lot of focus on the Pakistani Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif's address at the United Nations. Is the Indian rage being vented now, you think, more through the media?
Well, I mean, the Indian media, particularly the Indian broadcast media, is notorious for being very hawkish and bellicose, and particularly toward Pakistan. A lot of these TV channels in India that have been particularly vociferous in their criticism and their threat to Pakistan, you know, a lot of people watch them. And I think that a lot of Indians take the hint of these very prominent news anchors that are literally calling on India to cripple Pakistan and bring it to its knees. The Indian media's reaction to the attack should really be seen as a bellwether for how other aspects of Indian populace did respond.
Is there any chance of the UN taking a more forceful role and saying, well, we've got these resolutions, things have moved on, the demographic is not the same, for example, the context, however, is still the same?
I think Pakistan certainly hopes that the UN will take a lead in getting these two sides to move forward on the Kashmir issue. And this is why Pakistan places so much importance in these speeches that its leaders make to the UN General Assembly every year. And that's why there was so much importance placed in Nawaz Sharif's speech this week. But there's several factors here to keep in mind. One is the UN, obviously, has so much on its plate. It's dealing with so many security threats around the world that we don't need to go into. There are too many to describe. And unfortunately, Kashmir, or unfortunately from the perspective of Pakistan, Kashmir simply doesn't stack up the high priority. The other issue is that, you know, for all the talk of these UN resolutions, the ball is really in the court of Pakistan and India, not the UN. I mean, the UN resolutions state that both Pakistani and Indian forces need to withdraw, that they cannot be deployed in areas where they should not be deployed. So particularly Pakistan in Jammu and Kashmir, it needs to back out. It needs to go back to its side of the line of control before you can talk about anything happening, whether it's referendums or negotiations, whatever the case may be. And you know, obviously, Indian and Pakistani forces have been heavily mobilized on the line of control for a number of years on their respective sides. And until there's any change to that, you can't really move forward with the diplomatic aspects. Now, of course, you know, you may hope that the UN would try to step in and offer its good offices, which Nawaz Sharif specifically asked for in his speech this week, in the hopes that it could get the two sides to demobilize or whatever the case may be. I just think it's unlikely, though. I think the UN has too much on its plate on dealing with the Kashmir crisis, as serious and as destabilizing as it is.
One wonders what the situation would be today in Kashmir if the United Nations resolutions of the late 1940s, which called for a withdrawal of armed forces on both sides and a plebiscite on Kashmir's political future, had been binding. That's all we have time for in this week's Spotlight on Asia. From me, Roslyn Hyams, until next time, goodbye. Thank you.